Generation Z, also known as Gen Z, refers to individuals born between the mid-1990s and the mid-2010s. As the youngest generation in the workforce, Gen Z is quickly becoming an important demographic for employers to understand and engage with, as 24% of the global workforce is made up of this age group. I'm Skynell Hughes, and on this edition of 360 View, we are going to look at the various characteristics of the latest generation now entering the workforce and how businesses are having to adjust, all in order to attract and retain Generation Z workers. Let's get started. Percent of employers reported firing a Gen Z employee all within their first week of working. Now, communication is the most important tool we have in the workplace. International correspondent Roxana Solano breaks down how people are getting lost in generational translation. Roxana.
Well, Scotty, Tinder Australia has come out with a Gen Z dictionary to help millennials understand what their younger counterparts are trying to say. It might show an even larger generational divide than ever. Tinder research shows 62% of people ages 18 to 25 feel they speak a completely different language compared to older people that they are meeting. The dictionary outlines new phrases and even new types of relationships Generation Z has made up. One being a situationship, and I have a difficult time even saying it, which is described as a romantic juncture that hovers somewhere between a steady relationship and an affair or friendship and remains undefined throughout. Many of the definitions of relationships were described as non-committal or hookup culture seems to be more widely accepted. Generation Z seems to be a coin-conscious generation, as some unfamiliar terms are about saving money. Afford dating and frugal flirting refers to affordable dates, such as going for walks or a coffee, even though coffee costs money. Some others, unknowns, were kitten fishing, where the date makes themselves out to be better than they were online, not necessarily looks, but in jobs and lifestyle. Another is beige flags, where someone is incompatible because they seem boring or basic. Many of the terms focus on sexual preferences and gender ideology, such as trans, queer, non-binary, pansexual, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy. Many of the terms had to do with wanting to be environmentally friendly, showing Generation Z values climate change as a high priority. Eco-dumping refers to dumping someone who thinks climate change is fake. Green dating is when you specifically date someone who shares your values about the environment. This dictionary shows the values you have as you grow older stem into the language you use. This could help you understand Generation Z better. That is, if you want to. So, Generation Z believes they do not understand their baby boomer counterparts in the workplace, and I cannot keep up with Generation Z terms. I have a list of Generation Z workplace terms, and I have found that the list of the baby boomers differ from the list of Generation Z. So I have a little test to you, Scotty. Let's see if you can keep up with times, and I'm not gonna say what generation we are, because that would be...
Oh, we're millennials. Now, some of us are less, more of a millennial than the other, but...
I have a test. So the first word I'm going to say to you, Generation Z, in the workplace is quiet quitting.
Quiet quitting? That means... Am I supposed to tell you what it means?
If you know it.
And full disclosure, obviously, I did not look ahead into the script. I was actually honest, so I have no idea what I'm saying. Quiet quitting. Just not coming back the next day.
Well, you're in the right track, but it really means doing the bare minimum at your job so they can fire you.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
It makes sense.
Okay, I'll give them a term.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a simple one.
Okay.
CEO.
CEO, that's chief executive office, sir.
So you're the boss.
Yes, exactly.
It means like you are the best at what you do.
Okay, but it's not necessarily the boss, it's just you're the best in what you do.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll take it. Oh,
you hang out with Generation Z people.
Well, I have kids.
We're moving to Baby Boomers Workplace Dictionary because apparently people don't understand baby boomers either.
Okay.
Okay, so throwing the towel.
Oh, that you're done, you're giving up.
You know that one.
I work around baby boomers a lot.
Cut the mustard.
Cut the mustard? cut the bull honky? cut the stupid stuff?
Well, no, it come up to expectations. I've never heard that term before, ever.
Like, why mustard?
I don't know.
Of all of the condiments, mustard would not be the one that I would think of expectations being.
Well, this one I love. Okay. What's the beef?
Oh, what's the beef? What's up with you? What's going on, or what's the problem?
You even got that.
I'm bringing out the Italian in me. What's
all
your problem?
The last one. Big yikes.
Big yikes?
That one is actually a Generation Z term.
I have had to say, I'd almost put that big yikes, that's like a surprise and it's not in a good way.
Ouch.
Ouch?
Yeah, you got it.
Ouch.
You can talk to any generation.
See, I think ouch would mean hurt, like, ouch, that hurts. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong on that one. Yeah. Okay, so I'm hip. Well, like I said, I didn't look at it. We had a bet going amongst my little Generation Zs, if I could get any of them. I'll take at least, what, a B? I got a B.
A minus.
Okay, I like the grades better. I like that side of it. Ugh. Well, thank you, Roxana. What a fun game to play. Joining us now is well-known entrepreneur, executive coach, public speaker, trainer, and HR consultant, Sarah Hamilton Gill, who won HR Consultancy of the Year in 2020. She was awarded by the Business and Industry Today publication in the UK, who is joining us to discuss. I know you probably enjoyed that little game that we just played. You probably know better terms than I do. Some of those actually kind of surprised me. But I want to pick your brain. Give me this overall observation of who Generation Z is.
Well, first of all, thank you, Scotty, and I'm delighted to be here, both as an HR professional working directly with employers and self-employed, but also I'm a parent of two Gen Z boys. So, very interesting terminology that have been used. Some of it I recognise, some of it I don't. Observations about Gen Z? I mean, it's clearly a hot topic at the moment, Gen Z. Everywhere you look, there's articles about it. They get bad press. Gen Z, you know, typically classified as poor work ethic. You know, they're entitled, difficult to manage. So I wanted to just give you a few pointers in terms of some of the context that I think that surrounds why they might get these labels. Typically, there are kind of seven characteristics. So I'll go through them quite briefly. Gen Z are the first generation that were kind of brought up from day one with digital smartphones and the internet and everything else. They've never known anything different. So that makes their whole behavior very different from previous Gen X and Gen Y. They're very, like you said earlier in the interview, they're very, very focused on diversity and more so than any other generation. Very, very conscious about the environment. They've also been through an age where potentially their parents were sitting around the table in 2008 when the financial crisis took place. And of course, they've had that economic impact on them, as well as COVID-19. So they're slightly more cautious and pragmatic about the employment world than perhaps other generations. They're going to be the most well-educated generation ever. However, there are some howevers on this one. It's not all rosy. The mental health of Generation Z is said to be at crisis point in terms of behavior. And this was a McKinsey report that came out last year. And a lot of this is down to the digital world that they live in. So, there are lots of characteristics around Gen Z. But, of course, it's a huge generalization to say everybody's like this. You know, they're all individuals. But those are some of the beliefs and behaviors that we've seen displayed in the world of work.
And I'm sure that if they looked at these other generations in the first few years, you would have some of the same compliments, some of the same misconceptions said about them. So obviously it's going to try out in history to actually clarify what Gen Z really is. But as we said before, 12% of employers have already fired a Gen Z worker all within their first week. Being easily offended is often the reason. Are office environments unwilling to adjust to attract Generation Z workers, or did we raise this overly sensitive, everybody gets a trophy generation?
Well, it's a really interesting one. So I do a lot of recruitment, and I think if somebody's fired a Gen Z or fired anybody in their first week, it would probably highlight to me that they didn't have a very good recruitment process in the first place. So some of these characteristics should have been borne out through that process. And I'm sure it's not just Gen Z that get fired in their first week. I'm sure most, you know, many people, if the processes aren't right, might end up in the same boat, really.
Well, it's interesting because you also, like you said, it's about the recruiter, and it also falls on the questions that Generation Z is actually asking. So while interviewing for a position, Gen Z is more likely to ask about office culture and what a company does to offset environmental impacts than other generations before. Not something that I ever asked, especially for my first job. You know, there's these soft skills of communication, teamwork, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Those are becoming more important to Generation Z than hard skills they believe they can just learn on the job. Can you explain why these are more important to Generation Z in the workplace? And is it just because that is what we are teaching in schools now, is those sort of social issues versus actual job skills?
It's a really interesting one. In terms of diversity and inclusion, they've grown up with that, the whole of those various movements that have been going on with that. Environmental impact, you've also seen the scenario that we had with Greta Thunberg with her climate change walk. So they're growing up in an environment where people are becoming more activist in their approach. And of course, they're drawn into that with social media. They get drawn into that, I think, far more than anyone else. Do companies adapt to Gen Z? I think they've been quite slow. If you look at the recruitment and selection processes that go on around the world, you know, some companies are making fantastic use of technology to attract Gen Z. But what they're not doing necessarily is aligning the values that are really important to Gen Z to either the packages that they've got or the way that they work. There's still a misalignment going on.
Well, it's interesting when you and I probably, and I would just generalize, we're probably in the same generation. When we went to apply for a job, it was like, okay, how much are you going to pay us? And what's the work environment? What is going to be time that we're supposed to be at work and time we're allowed to leave at work? Do we get health insurance? Do we actually get 401ks? Those are kind of the questions we ask. But it's interesting because I feel like now employers are having to look at social identity because it's also completely changing with this younger generation. You know, according to Gallup polls, 2.7% of baby boomers actually identify as LGBTQ, where a whopping 20% of Generation Z identify as being part of this rainbow alphabet, to use their term. Now, hiring managers say they actually are looking more likely to overlook those resumes with pronouns on them. What are some of the concerns being expressed about Generation Z and hiring?
I think, I spoke to quite a number of people about their observations in the workplace about Gen Z. And there is this misalignment between the leadership skills that exist out there and the Gen Z expectations. You know, Gen Z, from talking to a number of people in the last few weeks, you know, Gen Z, they're very, really eager to do, you know, career progression, learning and development. And they're very, very impatient. And they want to see this career ladder of how they get from A to B and how they can do it quickly. And some of the leaders that are going to be typically older, not necessarily always the case, but maybe their leadership skills aren't good enough to bring out the best in the Gen Z generation. Maybe they're threatened by them.
All things that are definitely conversations. Thank you so much, Sarah Hamilton-Gill. Please stick around for us. Because, you know, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation and look into whether or not Gen Z workers play well with others in the workplace.
Days of Western control, Western-led world order, and the days of U.S. hegemony are over. That world order is now done with. What you are seeing in Ukraine is the last attempt, desperate attempt, by the Americans and a few Western allies that they have, who are desperately trying to retain that old order. It's a moth-eaten order that has no relation with reality.
24 числа сказали война, собираемся все и едем.
У каждого была какая-то своя точка переломная, точка невозврата, так можно сказать.
Здесь все совсем другое. Здесь все быстро и просто.
От России никто и не отворачивался. Мы с ней и росли, мы с ней и жили.
Русским был, есть и буду.
Здесь не просто мужчины, здесь лучшие люди, не лучше нас.
Уход! Уход!
Все будет хорошо. Прорвемся.
Вариантов-то нет. Надо до конца добивать все это мероприятие. Иначе будет только хуже.
Реально бояться можно. Прям можно бояться. Ну, трусить нельзя. Лучше мы будем здесь воевать, чем они придут туда, к нам домой.
Welcome back as we continue our discussion with well-known entrepreneur, executive coach, public speaker, trainer, and HR consultant Sarah Hamilton Gill talking about Generation Z and the changes in the workplace. You know, Sarah, I have to ask, how is Generation Z different from past generations who are still in the workforce?
Yes, this is a really interesting one because all of the generations have different strengths and weaknesses in terms of what they bring to the party. Gen Z are very technology-driven individuals, so they expect, when they join a company, they expect to have, you know, good quality laptops. They like to have communications that are cloud-based. You know, they're using Slack, they're using WhatsApp, they're using all sorts of Teams. You know, they're very connected. You know, if you take the baby boomers, for example, a lot of them are much more comfortable and happy with the face-to-face interactions that aren't necessarily digital. You know, they're very keen to be in the office physically. So I think the generations are changing. And some research showed recently that certainly in the UK, the over 50s since the pandemic have decided that they're going to exit the corporate world as well because they want, you know, they're picking up some of the Gen Z, you know, behaviours around wanting more from life. And so there's been a big exodus in terms of people wanting flexibility and work-life balance. And I've certainly seen that coming through with the work I do with people setting up their own businesses as well.
Well, the debate between those who are older and those who are just coming in has always happened, regardless of this time period or 50 years from now. But how do Generation Z workers, Gen Z workers, actually get along with others in the workplace?
I think one of the big areas of conflict I understand from managers I've spoken to is this sense of, and some people describe Gen Z as lazy, but I think it's they're focused on the what and the outputs. They're not necessarily focused on how they get there. So they can appear to be very distracted. You might have a meeting, they're on their mobile phone, they're, you know, doing something else, you know, they're on their laptop, they're listening to music, they're multitasking. And I think many people judge that as they're not concentrating, not doing the work they should be doing. And maybe not turning up to work on time as well is another one that they need to kind of address maybe.
Well, so as we start off the show talking about, is it fair to actually generalize Generation Z, Gen Z, especially their work ethic? Are they all the same?
Absolutely not. I do a lot of work with psychometric testing and everybody's different. So it's really difficult to lump all of Gen Z together. I've got two sons that are Gen Zs. I've got two nieces, two nephews. All six of them are either self-employed or want to be self-employed, and their behaviours and personalities are completely different. So I think it's difficult. I think the context of them growing up, which shaped many of the factors as to why they've got some of these behaviours, are going to be similar. But I think they are all very different.
Well, Sarah, you told us that, and I agree with you, that this generation is going to be the most educated of all of the generations of the past because they have access to it. But, and since Generation Z is more tech savvy, what effects do you think this will have on blue-collar workers and jobs, more of that skilled labor that doesn't necessarily need a college education to be successful?
Yes, and this is a major challenge for employers that are trying to get people to go back into the workplace after the pandemic as well. You know, not many people, particularly Gen Z, want to go into blue-collar roles. You know, you've got problems with construction workers, hospitality, manual workers. You know, Gen Zs are much happier sat at their desk at home with their technology than they are doing manual work. So I think in terms of technology, we can tap into the Gen Z's, you know, savviness when it comes to technology to help look at the automations within those industries and help with the digital transformation, and maybe upskilling some of the people that are in those blue collar workers. I think the biggest threat to blue collar workers right now is AI. I don't think it's Gen Z.
Interesting. Oh, that's a whole nother show to go down. But, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned about artificial intelligence and technology, because influencers have become a large part of this generation. Do you think that is a positive, that people are finding that they can make money enough to live on, actually become celebrities themselves just based on social media with actually having, they're the product. They don't actually have a product that they're contributing.
I think it's... there's this research also that has been done, which is the fear of missing out. And I think a lot of Gen Zs are constantly glued to their social media because they're worried about missing out. And then there's this, you know, make money fast mentality, you know, that it's almost like you don't have to put the effort in to get the money out. And for some people, if they are working smartly, they can make a lot of money by using technology. But I think that gives the wrong expectation for the majority of people that are in the workforce. It's only a few very successful people that make lots of money from being micro-influencers or even you know, influencers in a bigger scale.
You know, Sarah, it's funny that you talk about this because you talk about technology, but, you know, I'm one of those that has to plan for everything. What if we did see a massive technology fail? Like you said, you mentioned artificial intelligence. We're relying on it more. What happens to those Generation Z if technology, all of a sudden we have to go back to other things besides technology in order to feed our families or to provide shelter? What happens to Generation Z if we kind of have to go backwards in the technology road?
I think they'd be stuck, a lot of them. I mean, you've only got to try taking a phone off somebody for half an hour and you can see the reaction you get. So I think if technology was to fail in some way, we're maybe not building up enough of those other skills that aren't digital, you know, the broader life skills and work skills that might be needed out there.
Well, are you worried that because they're becoming so technologically reliant upon, you mentioned artificial intelligence, that's the jobs that they can easily replace. Do you think that Gen Z might be actually against AI, or more importantly, push for legislation that might limit AI so that they can at least keep their jobs?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one, but I would imagine Gen Z would be... jumping on, I mean, and certainly my son, who's a Gen Z, he was the one that told me about ChatGPT. You know, he was very into it. And I think they would actually ride the wave of this new AI rather than being against it, probably.
Do you think that the Gen Z looks more to the government or their peers for reliance upon in situations of trial? Do they look to the government as something that they can trust, or the fact that they look for them in times of trouble? Or are they more about, I want to find my own solutions without any interference?
I think it's a blend of all of those things, but probably least so. I think it's probably least in terms of governmental support. I think it's more likely to be a peer group or finding their way through by themselves. They seem to be quite savvy in terms of doing their own research, in terms of what's out there on the internet, whether it's true or not. That's how they kind of tend to find their news, I think.
Which brings me back to my beginning in this whole thing, the boss. What does a good boss that Generation Z works with look like? What kind of boss and expectations would they have of someone who is managing a bunch of Gen Zers?
I think the leaders of the future that are going to get the best from Gen Zs are leaders that are going to be empathetic and understanding and not judgmental. And I think they need to nurture and understand the strengths that this generation can bring to the workforce rather than, you know, seeing them as this disruptive group of people. And I think it's a reflection on some of their leadership skills, quite frankly.
Interesting. Well, last question for you, Sarah. You look at the trends. We talked about baby boomers to millennials to Gen Z. What are your predictions for this next generation that happens? What do you see them going to be gleaming from Gen Z, and how will they possibly be different?
Gosh, the alphas that are going to be coming along. Goodness knows what their next generation of working is going to be like. I think my understanding of AI is that by 2045, the collective knowledge of AI is going to be greater than the whole of the world. So the whole world of work will be completely different, I think, in the next generation after Gen Z. I think this is probably one of the last generations where there's traditional offices that we go to and traditional ways of working. I think it will become much more digital and much more remote, which I think is quite sad, quite frankly. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Lots of great information. Thank you, Sarah Hamilton-Gill, Managing Director of Globus HR Consulting Limited, for joining us.
Thank you.
So every generation comes with their positives and their negatives. Generation Z workers tend to value diversity and inclusion in the workplace and may even bring a fresh perspective on issues related to diversity and social responsibility. This can be particularly valuable for companies who are seeking to build a more diverse and inclusive workforce. However, this is also the newest generation in the workforce, therefore lacking in work and life experiences, which can be invaluable, especially in crisis situations. The goal of any space should be to integrate all of the workers to create a positive and productive environment for those of all ages. Considering all of the outside elements working against business, having a cohesive internal environment is crucial for a company's survival. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this has been your 360 view of the news affecting you. Thanks for watching.